Commencement and a Christmas star. It's all on Tennessee Tech Today this week. Hello, everyone. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director, and thanks for tuning in to the award-winning Tennessee Tech Today show. Well, the 2020 fall semester wrapped up with three commencement ceremonies inside the Hooper Eblen Center. Almost 700 students donned a cap and gown and had their name called as they walked across the stage and had their degree confirmed by President Phil Oldham. During the ceremony, graduates watched video messages from several different alumni, and we have those messages for you on Tennessee Tech Today this week. We start with Trudy Harper, the chairperson of Tennessee Tech's Board of Trustees. Harper had an illustrious career with Texas Utilities Electric Company, who founded Tenasca Power Service Company, the power marketing affiliate of Tenasca.
I'm Trudy Harper. I'm the chairman of the Board of Trustees, and I'm an 83 and 84 graduate with bachelor's and master's degrees in electrical and computer engineering. So congratulations to all of you, but a special congratulations to the 23 of you who are graduating with degrees in electrical or computer engineering. You are my students, and I promised you that this day would come, and it has, so congratulations. To those of you who are like me and are the first in your families to graduate from college, I want to join you in acknowledging and celebrating what a special opportunity you've been given. And I want to ask you to honor that opportunity by ensuring that those who come after you have the same opportunity to go to college. To all of you, I hope that you have formed lasting friendships while you've been here at Tennessee Tech. I've found that lifelong friendships are not something that require a lot of work, but they don't happen by accident. So I hope you'll be intentional about maintaining those friendships that you've established here. And if, like me, you're blessed and 40 years later, you'll find that some of the most important people in your life are people that you met while you were here at Tennessee Tech. So congratulations again to all of you, and go out and make us proud.
Next is Captain Barry Butch Wilmore, a captain in the U.S. Navy and an astronaut who is a veteran of two space flights. In 2021, Wilmore will command the inaugural flight of Boeing's Starliner to the International Space Station.
Good day. I'm Barry Wilmore, B.S. Electrical Engineering 1985, M.S. Electrical Engineering 1994, also on the Board of Trustees. I'm grateful for this opportunity to say just a few short words. As you go forward in life, I would say, choose adventure. It will certainly broaden your horizons. And set out each day to make some small accomplishments. Make your bed, clean the breakfast dishes, read your Bible, work out. Something that instills discipline every single morning, because discipline will take you a long, long way in life. And finally, of course, we have to set some encouraging words from Master Yoda himself.
Try not. Do. Or do not. There is no trouble.
The next message is from Fred Lowry, a member of the Board of Trustees who serves as president of Life Sciences Solutions and Laboratory Products at Thermo Fisher Scientific. With revenues of more than $24 billion and approximately 70,000 employees globally.
Class of 2020, congratulations. This is Fred Lowry from the class of 1994. I was one of those students that was able to squeeze my 4 years of school into six. And I thought I had it hard while I was there in Cookeville. But I didn't have to endure anything like what you guys have proven to endure through your college experience. And you guys have come out like champions. So I'm incredibly proud of you, and I'm very excited about your future. Just a couple of things I would maybe offer to help you along the way. One is write down your goals. Write down your short-term goals and your long-term goals and review them often. Research has shown that people that write their goals down and review them have a much greater chance of reaching them. Seems like a small thing, but it's a huge thing. Secondly, figure out what you love and do that work. Love the work that you do, and it will never be work. It will be your passion. And then third, help others. No matter what your profession is, there's a person on the other end of it that's receiving your work product. And let me tell you, whoever helps the most people wins. So help as many people as you can. And then finally, don't ever give up. Whatever your goals are, Don't ever give up on them. And if you don't give up on your goals, you can never be defeated. If you get knocked down 7 times, get up 8. I'm super excited about your future. I feel like the country and this world is in great hands because of your resilience, because of your vision, and because you are going to change the world. Congrats again. Enjoy your day.
And Student Board of Trustee member Daniel Hines had a special message for his fellow students.
Congratulations, class of 2020. My name is Daniel Hines, and I serve as the student representative on the Board of Trustees. On behalf of the board, we want to congratulate you on all of your accomplishments thus far. You have worked so hard to be where you are today. Despite the constant challenges thrown at you this year, you have overcome the adversity of moving to online classes last semester and the hybrid model this semester, and have done exceptionally well. You will all go to the far reaches of the world and share the knowledge that you have gained while at Tennessee Tech and do amazing things in the process. Always remember to keep pushing forward and to be bold, be fearless, be kind, and be confident. Keep your wings up, Golden Eagles.
The keynote speaker for commencement was Tech alumna Stephanie Irwin Dedman. She is the Chief Information Officer for the state of Tennessee. Dedman is responsible for all operational areas of the state's central IT organization.
Hello, my name is Stephanie Irwin Dedman. I'd like to welcome the graduates, family, friends, professors, and administrators. As a double alumna of this wonderful institution, I'm so honored to be speaking with you today to commemorate such a huge milestone in your life. Congratulations, what an awesome accomplishment you have achieved. There is likely a long list of people who are proud of you. Your family, your friends, the professors and administrators of this great university, including President Odom. And you should be proud of you. You have worked hard to make it to this moment, so enjoy every moment of it. Additionally, you've demonstrated great resiliency and persistence during this challenging time. These skills will serve you well throughout life. One of the reasons I'm so honored and thrilled to be speaking with you today is that I may be more like many of you than some of the commencement speakers in the past. I grew up in Tennessee in a middle-class family. As we've already established, I graduated from Tennessee Tech. While I do have an MBA, I don't hold a doctorate. I'm not a VP or a CEO, but I am the Chief Information Officer for our great state, a role that I am extremely proud of. So know that you, yes you, can achieve great things. I'm proud of my Tennessee Tech education. I learned more than the technical and professional skills obtained during my time here. I learned important life skills, things like how to be part of a team, why it's important to help others, to be proud of where I came from, and to give back. I want to share a story with you that impacted me early in my career. I overheard coworkers talking about ACT scores, something along the lines of, "Did you know there are people working here who only made a 20-something on their ACT?" And to make matters worse, they were speaking negatively about those of us who went to state universities. Colleges like MTSU, and yes, our beloved Tennessee Tech. I assumed they were speaking specifically about me. My ACT was enough, but I didn't knock it out of the park. My heart sank. I felt physically ill. Could I really succeed in this company? Did I have what it takes? I think I proved them wrong, but let me share some lessons that I took away from that situation. First, don't dwell on the negativity of others. I let those comments impact me way more than I should have. I stewed over it for a while, and clearly I still remember the situation. That is not a valuable use of time or energy. Irma Bombeck said, "Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere." Second, don't let a single measure define you. A test like the ACT is a point-in-time measure. It's not intended to predict future success. When you miss the mark or don't achieve something, pick yourself up, take note of what you learned, and how you can do better next time. Another lesson. The best reaction to naysayers is to achieve massive success. Never let someone else's opinion of you define who you are or what you can be. The best way to fight a notion is to prove them wrong. Who says a graduate of Tennessee Tech University can't make it to the C-suite? There are plenty of us who have. The next lesson is twofold. Don't fight negativity with negativity. I could have confronted them and attempted to correct their understanding, but it was their opinion, and arguing opinions isn't a good use of time. The second part is that arguing with them is not really me. It's not how I roll, so they say. So the point is, you have to be you. You have to be authentic, because when you're not, people pick up on that. And lastly, and maybe most importantly, don't be the naysayer. Bernard Meltzer said, quote, "Before you speak, ask yourself if what you are going to say is true, is kind, is necessary, is helpful. If the answer is no, then maybe what you are about to say should be left unsaid," end quote. Now, your parents may have taught you this notion as a child or a teenager. I want you to know it's every bit as important as an adult and as a professional. In my humble experience, it's positivity that will help you achieve success. As you go out into the world to do great things, I'd like to share a few nuggets I'd encourage you to remember and embrace. Even though you've heard some of these before, possibly, I believe they will serve you well in whatever you choose to do. Be humble. There's just no room for ego. A healthy dose of self-confidence is good, but remember that often a strength taken to the extreme becomes a weakness. Be helpful. Volunteer to stay late. Ask to take on the special projects. Be seen as the go-to person. Put the hard work in. Rarely is something going to be given to you without you proving you're willing to work for it. Be flexible. Things change. Challenges present themselves. Be calm, level-headed, and patiently work through the issue or problem at hand. Earn the title of problem solver. And an oldie but a goodie, say please, thank you, and you're welcome. You don't have to have your life mapped out right now, but do have a 2 to 3 year plan, but be flexible. Always remember those who helped you along the way, including your parents, and help them when and however you can. One of the commissioners I worked for often said, "Do the right things and do things right." He would say, "Folks, it's just that simple." And he's right. I'll say it again. Do the right things and do things right. Be proud of your Tennessee Tech degree. Always be proud of your time here and your accomplishments. For it matters what you do as an employee, as a person, and how you treat others, not how large or small your university was or how much you paid for your education. Again, thank you so much for the honor to speak with you today. Congratulations and best wishes for each of you. And remember, wings up.
And certainly a great message for all Tech graduates. Hey, coming up, we're going to be talking about the Christmas star with our very own astronomer expert, Steve Robertson. Stay with us.
You can't predict the future, but you can count on Tennessee Tech University always putting students first. Tech understands today's challenges and helps students by showing strength, compassion, patience, kindness, and common sense. We put students first on a safe, accessible campus close to home. That's what you can count on at Tennessee Tech. Find out more at tntech.edu/wingsup.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. Well, if you look up in the sky on Monday, December 21st, you will see something folks haven't seen in a long, long time. For the first time in nearly 800 years, Jupiter and Saturn will align in the winter solstice sky to become what is known as the Christmas star. And with us to tell us more about this interesting phenomenon is Steve Robinson, the chair of Tech's physics department. So, Steve, the last time we talked to you, there was a little eclipse that was going on just a few years ago, and now another phenomenon. How crazy is it that within the last 3 years that something that happened hasn't for hundreds of years is happening?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's serendipitous. You know, these things all happen on different timescales, and it just so happens that in the last few years we've had these two exciting things going on.
So I would think that somebody who loves astronomy and who is into physics and things like that, this is a very exciting time to be a professor with these things going on.
Yeah, I think for anybody who loves looking up at the sky, it's... you know, it's exciting to see things that don't happen very often. This thing that's going to happen on December 21st is really pretty unique. The last time it happened in this particular way was about 400 years ago. So,
okay.
It's exciting.
Yeah. Well, so tell us a little bit about, what is happening. You know, Jupiter, Saturn, they're going to align in the winter solstice sky. to create this Christmas star, but what does that really mean?
Right. So probably the first misconception people should get over is it's nothing to do with stars.
Okay.
As you said, this is two planets.
Yeah.
This is Jupiter and Saturn that just happen to be getting very close to each other in the sky. The unique thing about this happens about once every 20 years with Jupiter and Saturn,
mm-hmm.
but they don't usually get as close together as they're going to get this time. And in fact, as I said, this is the closest they've been for 400 years. And in fact, even the time it happened 400 years ago was difficult to see because it happened very close to the sun. And so people couldn't really see it in the sky. So actually, it's about 800 years since they've been this close together and been very easily visible in the sky.
And what makes them become so close? I mean, why now? Why would they become so close now?
So what's happening, if you imagine, you know, the typical picture of the solar system with the sun in the middle and the planets going round the outside, Jupiter's going round the sun about once every 10 years, whereas Saturn takes about 30 years to go once around the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens about every 20 years is that from our point of view, Jupiter comes up and overtakes Saturn in the sky, on the inside, as it were, because it's closer to the sun. And so when that happens, from our point of view, it looks like they're getting very close together in the sky. They're really not very close together physically because Saturn's about twice as far away from the sun as Jupiter is.
Mm-hmm.
But from our point of view, looking out into the solar system, they look very close together.
So on Monday, December 21st, if I walk outside at night, approximately what time will this be? Do the astronomers know?
So you need to be outside at sunset.
Okay.
Because it's going to be very low in the southwest. You want to look just above the southwestern horizon, and you want to make sure you have a clear view in that direction, because if you've got any trees or buildings, you probably won't see it. They're already going to be pretty low in the sky,
mm-hmm.
when you first see them. And by about 6 o'clock in the evening, they're going to have set below the western horizon, southwestern horizon, so you'll miss them. So you need to be out there at sunset looking in the southwest. It's not to say that it has to be that night. They're
sure.
going to be pretty close together. You know, they're getting closer and closer together now. If you go out in the evenings when it's clear, you'll see them getting closer and closer together. And then, you know, they won't suddenly get far away from each other the next night or the night after that.
Sure.
It's just that it happens to be on December 21st. They'll be the closest they're going to be.
Okay. So exactly what will we see? I mean, I walk outside, I'm looking to the southwest, it's sunset. What am I looking at? What am I going to see?
You're going to see two bright dots very close together.
Mm-hmm.
The brightest one is the planet Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
And the dimmer one, just above and to the right of it, is the planet Saturn. Jupiter will be the most obvious one to look for. And they will be separate unless you've got extremely bad eyesight. You will be able to see two dots. It's not like they will merge to form one dot.
Sure.
There'll still be two dots there, but they'll be very close together, a distance that's actually much smaller than the width of the full moon.
Okay.
So they will be very close.
Now, is it a shame that the semester is over and so you won't be able to talk with your students the next day about, you know, what they saw, or is this something?
It sure is.
Yeah.
It sure is. We would definitely, if this was happening while students were here, we would be having what we call a star party, where we would break out some telescopes and let as many people as possible look at it through the telescopes as they can. As it is, I'm going to try and break out a telescope and maybe just put a camera on it and record what's happening.
Gotcha. So a party for one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Now, when we talked to you a few years ago, you were just ecstatic because of the eclipse and all that that it meant for you and just for people who, like you said, like looking up at the sky. Have you come down off of your eclipse high from a few years ago?
I think the eclipse was maybe a once, maybe a twice in a lifetime event. It was just so dramatic.
Yeah.
It's not just science.
Mm-hmm.
It hits you emotionally, an eclipse.
Yeah.
This conjunction is interesting scientifically, but for me, it hasn't got nearly the emotional impact that an eclipse has.
Yeah.
And in fact, we're already making plans. There's another eclipse crossing the U.S. in 2024.
Oh, wow.
And we're already making plans to go visit the Path of Totality for that. It's not that far away.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not too far, is it?
No, no.
Great. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, just what your semester looked like here at Tennessee Tech from a physics standpoint. You know, it was a strange semester with everybody dealing with COVID-19 and the safety protocols. And so what did that do for you, or did that affect you a whole lot in the way you teach and, you know, what you were able to teach your students?
Yeah, it certainly did. Luckily, well, I say luckily, it still would be much better to be in person. Mm-hmm. But many of us teach in a way where students are working in small groups on collaborative activities. And so what we managed to do was to do our classes on Zoom, where we still had our students meet in small groups in breakout rooms on Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And they would watch videos of experiments instead of doing the experiments themselves. But at least they had the collaborative nature that they could work together and discuss things together. So it wasn't for us just a case of videoing a lecture and putting it up online. We really did try and get the students involved and interacting with each other. And to some degree, I think we were pretty successful with that.
Yeah, and do you think that that's going to carry over into the spring as well?
It will definitely carry over into the spring. It's our considered opinion that at least when you teach in this way, where students work in groups together, it's better for them to be in these breakout rooms on a Zoom call, mm-hmm. than it is to be socially distanced and only have half the class there at a time because of physical distancing that you have to engage in. It's actually much better to be in these groups on Zoom. So yes, we will definitely continue that.
Okay, great. Steve Robinson, the chair of Tech's Physics Department, visiting with us about his semester and the Christmas star with Jupiter and Saturn aligning as close as they will come for the first time in nearly 800 years. They did come close back about 400 years ago, I think 1623, but certainly an interesting phenomenon for those who like looking at the sky. And Steve, anything else you want to add?
No, just I encourage you. It looks right now, the weather forecast looks like it's going to be pretty good for that evening, although it is going to be pretty cold. So I would definitely encourage people to go out and look at this.
Okay, great. Well, thanks so much, and we hope you enjoy checking out the Great Conjunctions. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
And that's going to wrap up Tennessee Tech Today for this week. Be sure to check out the T2 website at tntech.edu or check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Well, we're going to leave you with something special today. Communication major Cheyenne Sigmund singing the Tennessee Tech hymn. Until next week's show, be bold, fearless, confident, and kind. Wings up, everybody.
The quiet is and steadfast round walls of russet brown. On hall serene and campus green, the smoky hills look down. And steadfast may I cherish what thou hast given to me. Oh, alma mater, Tennessee Tech, God prosper thee. Deep purple stand the mountains, and golden sets the sun. We proudly wear these colors fair until our goal is won. We pledge thee faithful service, our love and loyalty. Oh, alma mater, Tennessee Tech, God prosper.